Thank you, Pastor. We went out to visit Miss Olma. We did not want to see Pastor, but he just happened to be there. I'm kidding, of course. Had a good time over there. Big farm. The kids went out. Actually, one of the reasons we went is we wanted to ride the horses. I didn't get to ride any horses. I did have my son and a couple nephews with me and their donkeys, and that's about it. But the girls rode horses, and we just looked at his nephews. Is he your nephew? No, your brother-in-law? Tyler. Tyler, brother-in-law, his brother-in-law's artillery, and we had a good time doing that. Talking about, I've never seen a 50 BMG, and I could hardly hold it. I have a picture of it. I couldn't even aim that thing because it was so big and long and heavy. But it made me feel like a man since I'm not one, right? That's what Pastor said. First Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we stayed at Brother Roth's house, Brother Roth and Miss Courtney's house while we were there. We went to Pasco, great city, and then we went to Othello. Was that Othello? Is that Othello? That was a good, nice place, and we went to Seattle. It was nice. Went to the fish market, had some oysters, raw oysters, and ate there by the sea, and it was good. We didn't see that many weird things until we went to Portland, and it was something else. I thought L.A. was the land of fruit and nuts, California, and they had more fruits, they had more nuts out that way, and they had people walking around in their birthday suit out that way also. So it was just different for us to see that, but praise God we're back in California where it is nice and covered here, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, therefore my beloved brethren, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we pray, Lord, that you bless these next couple minutes, some time we have here, 20 or so minutes we have here. We pray, Father, that you help us to be encouraged because we've been here. Help us, Lord, as we gear up for just the fall and just getting back into ministry and getting back to serving you and getting back things on schedule. We pray, Father, that you bless our people. We thank you for them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, I've been in the ministry, and I've been around here in our church for close to, I want to say maybe over 30 years, but I've been in the ministry here for over two decades. And I've seen good Christians slip in their faith. I've seen good marriages fall apart. I've seen good children, great children, break their parents' hearts. I've seen pastors, and I thank God that none of these stories are here a part of our church. I thank the Lord for our pastor and Pastor Esposito and our staff. We have kind of a higher, if you will, kind of just some high biblical standards. And sometimes it's not even Bible or anything like that. It's just, you know what, this might not be right, and it might put us in a bad predicament, and let's not do it. And we have, we kind of follow that. But I've seen good pastors. I mean, one of the pastors that I looked up to, pastor that I listen to every single time, fall into sin. Yeah. I've seen good ministry workers fall into sin. I've seen good deacons and good church members fall into sin. Some of these pastors, some of these people, some of them are in jail, some of them selling cars, some of them are not doing real well spiritually, church members the same. But I've seen that. Let me say this, we're living in one of the most difficult times as a Christian. I believe the last days are coming. Yeah. The Bible says in 2 Timothy that know also this, that the last days, that in the last days perilous or dangerous or risks or full of risks, times shall come. There's a lot of bad things going on. The Bible says for us, how do we live godly in this present world? What do we do? It's hard to live godly these days. And in my 2 decades plus in ministry, I've seen a lot of people backslide. Let me say this. You and I are candidates for backsliding. You and I are candidates for walking away from God. We're not exempt. We're not the, it happens to everybody else and not to us. We can be that person.
That's right.
It's like 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall.
Yep.
When I spoke to our seniors, and I love our teenagers, and I want the best for our young people. I want them to just experience the joy of serving God and the joy of being in God's will.
Yeah.
And I try to push our teenagers, hey, love God and do God's will and love your parents and get good godly counsel.
Yeah.
But as I was talking to all the seniors, I think almost all of them, one of the questions I asked, what is your greatest fear after graduation? And pastor, they say one of the greatest fears that they had after graduation is that they walk away from the Lord. That's telling me their heartbeat that they want to be faithful as a Christian.
Yeah.
They want to be faithful as a son, or they want to be faithful as a daughter. They want to be faithful as a servant of God. They said one of my greatest fears is that I walk away from God, that I don't do God's will. I believe a lot of people these last year and a half, and maybe even during this summer, have struggled. I mean, you look around our church, there were faces before the pandemic that aren't here anymore. Say, what happened? I believe marriages were weakened these past 2 or so years that we've had together here, because of everything that's gone on. What happened? There's more addictions have been recorded in the last year and a half, 2 years here. More suicides among different groups have been have increased during this time. You say, what's going on? Why? Why have people struggled? I'm not talking only about the unsaved world. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about Christians. Why have people struggled so much these past couple of years? What's the cause? From people to draw away from the Lord. What is the cause of people not being in church anymore? What is the cause of them backsliding? Is it because they're evil people? I don't believe so. Is it because they started lusting after the things of the world and they love the things of the world? I don't necessarily think that's where that started. Do you think that they stopped walking with God? Is that what happened? I don't think that's where it started. You look at all through the Bible, you think of a great man named Noah. The Bible calls him a righteous man, a perfect man. The Bible says he was mature. He obeyed God while others mocked him and others ridiculed him for building an ark in the middle of a place where there's no water. Probably pretty easy to roast a guy like that. While others turned to wickedness, the Bible says he was upright. The Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness. And yet, Noah, after the flood, after he got everybody in there, he got his children, he came out. And the Bible says that he got drunk, built a vineyard, he got drunk. The Bible says he uncovered himself. He took off his clothes and laid there. And the Bible says that his son came and saw his nakedness. Some believe maybe there was an immoral act that happened during that time. You think of great men like David, killed Goliath. He was a servant to the king. The Bible calls him a man after God's own heart. God used him in a great way, the greatest king. I mean, you think of a guy that had a heartbeat for God. It was David. But yet he sinned with Bathsheba, committed adultery, and he killed Uriah. The guy that killed Goliath. The guy that came and says, you know what? I'm sick and tired of this giant defiling the armies of God. Just a teenage boy that grew up, that loved God, that had a heartbeat for God. And he failed. You think of Samson. Samson in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him more than any other man in the Old Testament. He was a modern day, if you will, superhero.
Yeah.
He was Superman in the Old Testament. He had immense strength, and God's Spirit was upon him. And yet we see him without eyes, milling, going round, used to grind wheat, and died a tragic death, killing himself to kill a bunch of Philistines. If these men can get away from God, if these great Christians can get away from God, obviously we can get away from God. You think of Peter. Peter, the great apostle, he was in the inner circle. When the inner circle was mentioned, we mentioned Peter, James, and John. Always Peter is always first. He was a great man of God. He saw the Lord in the Mount of Transfiguration. He was the three few out of the apostles, out of the disciples that Jesus brought up to the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw Jesus heal the sick. He saw him raise the dead. He saw Jesus made the blind man to see. But yet, he cussed and denied God three times. Yeah. James and John, part of the inner circle, walked with the Lord, saw the same thing Peter saw. But yet they were selfish to want to sit on the right hand and the left hand of God. Why did these people backslide? Why did these people, these great men of God in the Bible, which we would call amazing people, people that walked with God closely, what happened? Where did it start? Why did they backslide? Is it because they're evil people? I said, no, I don't think so. They're great men. Is it because they had a lust for the world? No. I don't believe so. That's where it started. Did they stop walking with God? I don't think that's where it started. I believe it started when they lost their rhythm for God. They lost their rhythm for God. Somebody once said one of the keys to life is having a rhythm and keeping it. You know, if you played sports, I used to coach and I love basketball and I love sports. But when the other team is on a run and they're beating the fire out of you and they're just scoring and you can't stop them. As a team, if you watch sports, what does the coach do? He calls timeout. He says, timeout. You say, why? I want to slow this team down. They have some momentum. They have some rhythm. I mean, they're just going. They're scoring at will. I need to slow it down. Time out. Say, why did the coach do that? To stop the rhythm. You see a baseball player. I was at the Dodger game the other day. Brother Wright went to the Dodger game, got his replica ring. What did I get the other day? I got a L.A. Dodgers hoodie sitting in my house somewhere. As soon as I got home, my kids grabbed them. I don't know what happened to it. But you see a pitcher. He's pitching and the batter is ready to hit the pitcher. And he's just in a zone. Cannot miss. The pitcher, I mean, he's location, speed, everything he wants, he's getting. What does the batter do? Batter steps back from the plate, walks out a little bit. You say, why? He wants to cool that pitcher down. He wants him to lose his rhythm. You know, during this time, the summertime, and during these last year and a half or so, a lot of Christians have lost their rhythm. You're used to being involved. You're used to being in the bus ministry. You're used to being an usher. You're used to going out soul winning. You're used to doing something for God. You're used to being involved. And you're used to just reading your Bible and praying. And you're used to just serving God. And then COVID hit. And you would come Sunday morning and Sunday night. And you people online on TV there. You'd come every single time. But some of us have lost our rhythm in some of the areas. We come to church. So you know what? I'm going to step away from this ministry right now. Let me pray about that. And it's harder for us to get in that ministry. We're Sunday morning, we're there and we're faithful. We're there early and we're saying, man, I'm here to serve. And you lost your rhythm. You lost your rhythm. Be careful. The first step to backsliding is losing your rhythm. It's losing your rhythm, doing what you're supposed to do, doing what you decided to do every day and every night and every week, and you're doing the same thing over and over, and you had a rhythm. And with that rhythm came faithfulness and came the love for God, and then we'll stop. Vacation. I love vacation. I look forward to it. But let me say this. Vacation's over for me. It's time to work now. Time to get back. My wife and I, we're excited about our Sunday school class. We want to get back into it. We want to get our people back into serving God. You say, why? So we get people to come to church? Not necessarily. That's just a byproduct. We want them to know who Jesus is, and we want them to fall in love with Jesus, and we want them to know the fullness of joy that comes with serving the Lord.
Amen.
The devil wants to break your rhythm, church. He wants to put a damper on your momentum. Let me say this. Momentum is hard to start, but once it starts, it's hard to stop. And some of you had that momentum, and the devil, through different reasons, stopped that momentum. You know a train can ram through a lot of things when it has a big-time momentum? But you put a rock in front of that train when it stopped, it's hard for it to move.
Yeah.
You say, why? Because there's no momentum. More people have broken their rhythm this past season, during this pandemic and this summer, than any time that I can remember. This is what Satan does. He calls time out on Christians. He calls time out on our daily routine. He wants us out of church. He wants to ruin our lives. He wants to ruin our home. He wants to ruin our marriage. He wants to ruin our children. He wants us to say, hey, time out on your faithfulness to God. Take some time for yourself. And I'm not saying to not take time for yourself, but make sure it's scheduled. Make sure it's planned. Make sure you know what you're doing. When I was walking I want to say it was either Seattle or something, I saw a little sticker. It went something like this, and it wasn't this exact quote, but it was an idle mind is a devil's workshop.
Yep.
It was something like that. And you know, when we are not busy serving God and busy doing what we're supposed to do, that's the first step.
Yep.
Noah, great man, he finished the ark. Took him 120 years plus to finish that ark. Noah was out there working day and night building that ark. And God told him how to build, and God gave him the framework on how to build it. 120 years. He had a rhythm. He had a schedule. Now that the ark is done, the job is finished. He didn't have anything to look forward to anymore. And he lost his rhythm. He quit working on the ark. Lost his schedule. I don't know what happened. Maybe he got old and he said, you know what? I just want to go build, get a vineyard. I want to go plant something. And because he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do, his family and himself paid the consequence. David, a great man of God, lost his rhythm. He was supposed to be out in the battle. What doomed him? Was it adultery? No. What doomed him? Was it murder? No, it wasn't that. Well, it started when he lost his rhythm. He was supposed to go out to battle, and yet he stayed home, and he slept in. He says, you know what? I don't have anything to do today. Let me go out to my roof and just look around. Lo and behold, he sees a woman bathing. Say, why? Did he mean to do that? Did he say one day, you know what, I'm going to wake up at this time so I can see this girl bathing? Nope. He lost his rhythm. He was supposed to be at battle.
Yeah.
Peter saw the greatness of God. He walked with Christ for 3 years. He saw Christ on the mountain. He saw Christ walk on water. He saw Christ heal the sick and raise the dead.
Yeah.
And yet he cussed and denied the Savior. Not once, not twice, but 3 times. You say, why? He lost his rhythm. You know, he was used to walking with Christ every day. He was used to Christ being there. Now Christ is gone, and he didn't know what to do. He lost his daily routine. He lost his rhythm. And church, how's your rhythm today? Have you kind of lost it a little bit? And if you have lost it, let me say this. Get right back in it. Maybe you're not used to doing these past couple years, and we come and we step back. Let me encourage you. Let's get back in. Oh, maybe you know what? The bus ministry or the Sunday school class or this or that. Hey, wherever it's needed, get in. There's some times or stages in your life where you can lose your rhythm. Summertime is big. I had a guy, a teenager, every summer he backslid. Every summer. Every summer I had to go to his house, drag his carcass out of bed and say, you need to come to church. Every summer. Every summer. We'll go to his house and do the same thing. When he became adult, I didn't do it anymore. By the way, one summer, you start hanging out with cousins. Cousins started giving him pot. I guess it's legal now. He started him with a pot. And then he started taking crack and became a meth head. So where did it start? Rhythm. Losing that rhythm. Summer could be a big time. After graduation. You kids in here that just, you young adults in here just graduated, listen to me. Be careful. Be careful. After graduation is a very dangerous time. Everything was structured for you. You had school. You woke up and you went to class and you had to go soul winning and you had to be in the ministry. And now, you know what? I'm going to go to work. Yeah, I have my license. Be careful. I remember one of our kids played on our basketball team, and after graduation, started losing his rhythm. He was involved in the bus ministry, involved in ministry. Not the one of our best kids, but he was okay. I mean, he had a desire to serve the Lord. After graduation, he quit coming to church. Started gangbanging. A couple years after graduation, I was reading the paper. Said his name. He was an adult at that time. Got gunned down over here on Anaheim and Guanapero area. At getting gas or at one of the convenience stores. He said, what happened? Did he say, man, I'm going to join the gang? No. Lost his rhythm. Lost his rhythm. When's another dangerous time? Right after marriage. Some of you getting married, and maybe some of you watching online, you just got married. Be careful. You live in a new place. You have a new schedule. You have a new mate. You have somebody else there now. Mom and dad aren't there anymore. Now it's you and him or you and her. And everything is different. You might lose your rhythm during that time. Somebody expecting or having a new baby. I remember Pastor Esposito was talking about something that slips up Christians. And he was preaching, and all of a sudden he goes to the back, and he brings a new little baby inside the auditorium. He says, this little critter right here caused a lot of people to backslide. I've had four children, not me, but my wife. Thank God I didn't have four children. But my wife had four children. Let me say this. The Sunday right after, my wife was in church.
Yeah.
Our children were in the nursery. Right. He said, man, you know, the nursery is fine until you have your own baby, especially the first one. I don't know, those nurseries, I don't know if they're clean enough. I don't know. I got to have my baby with me. Put the baby in the nursery. Don't worry about it. You know, it'll be fine. Oh, you know, my baby has a little sniffle. I have to stay home. And then both parents stay home. One parent holds a bottle and the other one holds the hand. Well, what do you need two parents home for? I'm sorry, maybe that's a little sensitive. But everything is different. You have a new mouth to feed. You have a new person to care for. You're staying up late, feeding the baby, and you're waking up early. And the baby is crying and crying. And by the way, let me say this. If you don't put your baby on the schedule, God bless you. Yeah. Some of you new parents, put your baby on the schedule. You know, there's something called child centering. Don't do that. Oh, you know, little Peabody wants a milk and just gives, you know, food to the kid all the time, no schedule. Really? Anyhow, we're not doing that right now. The baby gets sick and mama don't come to church. And daddy, the whole family don't come to church. That's a slippery time when you're sick.
Yep.
You lose your rhythm. People get sick, and I'm not downplaying people's sickness, but once you get well, get back right into church. Get right back doing your ministry. You get a new job. Get a new job. All of a sudden, oh, you know what? I missed a couple Sundays, or I missed a couple Thursdays. I missed a couple services, soul winning. I could just keep missing. Don't lose your rhythm. Abraham, there was a famine in the land. Instead of going to God, he went to Egypt. He went to Egypt. Because of that, he lost his rhythm. He met a girl named Hagar and hired her as his wife's helper. Had a child with her. You see the effect of losing his rhythm. The mess that's in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Let me say this. It's never wise to move for a job. Nowhere in the Bible have I seen anybody move because of a job that came out right. You say, I just hate the politics of California. I hate to tell you, the politics everywhere else is bad too. You say, I'm going to go to Texas or Florida where it's a free country. Really? I went to Florida for a senior trip. And I went in there. I didn't have my mask. I got really ridiculed and yelled, where's your mask? I'm like, oh, it's right here. Sorry. I'm not saying God doesn't move people, but let me say this. You better make sure God moves you for the right reason.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody recently, and they said, yeah, I'm moving. I said, well, good, man. Great. I just bought a house. Great. I said, what church are you going to? Pastor, this is what he said. I don't know. We'll find one when we get there. I was like, well, that's not, and I kind of stepped over my bound a little bit. I said, man, that's not the wisest thing. He said, oh, don't worry about it. God always works it out. Hey, church, don't move because of money.
Come on.
Oh, I get paid more. I'd rather get paid less and be in the will of God than get paid more and be out of the will of God. There's death in the family. Those are all things, some of the things that would hinder us or cause us to lose our rhythm. Now, I'm going to give you a couple points here. I got about 10 minutes. How not to lose your rhythm. Number one, realize that you have a potential to backslide. Realize that you are not the super Christian that you think you are. Be humble and walk with God.
Amen.
Everyone, from the pastor to the person sitting on the pew, can backslide.
Yeah.
Pastor, I just heard a story about a pastor. I went to school with him. Broke my heart. This guy was hiring prostitutes. This guy was living in a adulterous life, he and his wife. He could see other people, and she can see other people. Open relationship, right? We just got to be, you know, open to each other. How in the world are you right with God and go up and preach the word of God living that way? This guy was one of the best preachers that I remember in college. He pastored a church right out of college, and he went to be an assistant pastor at one of the largest independent Baptist churches on the West Coast here. Took his dad's church. What in the world happened? Somewhere down the line, he lost his rhythm. And by the way, somewhere down the line, he decided, you know what? Biblical standards was legalism too. You know, these rules and regulations. They're not rules and regulations. They're biblical standards. Don't buckle with that. This is in the Bible. And then when we tell you it's not in the Bible, it works out. It's not in the Bible. Some things aren't in the Bible, but you know what? By experience, it helps out. Whether you do it or not, that's between you and the Lord. But we got to preach the word of God.
Amen.
Number two, live for something. Have a cause. Be focused on what you're doing. The Bible says here, In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Some of us are waiting on the Lord, but it doesn't mean to wait and just sit there and do nothing. Look, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They're going to fly. They're doing something. They shall run, running, not be weary. They shall walk, walk. There it is, and not faint. See, serving God and waiting on God, you need to have a purpose and a plan and not stay still. You know, the people that complain and the people that gripe and the people that are critics are the people that sit, soak, and sour. They do nothing. You sit in the pew and you think about everything. Oh, man, the music. Oh, the pastor. I can't. Get out of your seat and do something for God. Yeah. And then you won't criticize so much. But always move, always do something. There was a story involving Yogi Berra. Yogi Berra is the great baseball player. He was a catcher of the New York Yankees. Him and Hank Aaron were in the World Series together, and Yogi Berra was known to chatter and to talk and to just, you know, kind of get people out of rhythm by talking. So he intended to just to talk trash, and as Hank Aaron came up to the plate, Yogi tried to distract him by saying, "Henry, you're holding the bat wrong. You're supposed to hold it where you can read the trademark." Aaron didn't say anything. But when the next pitch came, he hit a home run into the bleachers. After rounding the bases and tagging up home, Aaron looked at Yogi and said, "I didn't come here to read. I came here to hit." Yeah. You know what? Be focused on what you're doing. Number three here, live by schedule, not by feeling.
There you go.
Live by schedule, not by feeling. Man, you're talking about living by feelings these days. Oh, it just doesn't feel right. Well, just because it doesn't feel right doesn't mean it's not right.
That's right.
You know, I don't feel like going to work sometimes, but I still go. We're not supposed to do what we're supposed to do because we feel like doing it. We're supposed to do it because it's right.
Yep.
See, I just don't feel right coming to church. I talked to somebody a while back. They said, "You know what, Brother Nate? I just don't want to come to church if I don't feel like my heart is in tune with God. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to go to church when everything is right." You know what? If we went to church, if we're not a hypocrite, nobody would be here.
Yeah, come on.
I wouldn't be here. You don't go to church because you don't feel like a good Christian. You go to church so you can have tools from the preaching of God's word and learn from the preaching of God's word to be a good Christian. Church doesn't automatically change you. "Oh, I'm going to come to church. I'm going to be a good Christian." No, you can come to church. You can live here. You're not going to be a good Christian. Church is when you come and you hear God's word being preached and you ruminate on that and you digest it and you get it a part of your heart, and that makes you a good Christian. Live by schedule. Wake up at the right, man, on vacation, that's one thing I hate. Eating late because you're driving, and then, you know, waking up early. Let's go rafting, my family. Let's go grandma. Somali, how old is your mama? She's old, okay. No, she's not that old. She's almost as old as Pastor, I think, right, Pastor? No. But she's up there. She's grandma. And she's like, we're driving to River Raft. I mean, they had category two, I think that's what it's called, two, three, four, and it's white water. We had a guide. We didn't, you know, have a Kmart coffin. We had a guide and everything. And we're going down there. So, Grandma, "Oh, I don't know if I should go. I don't know if I should go." And my wife shows her the video. "Oh, it's okay, Grandma. Mom, look." And the thing's going down 6-foot waterfalls and everything like that. And I was like, "Don't show her that. She's not going to want to go on." But we got Grandma to go on. And we went on, and she had a good time. It was great. And after we got done, she was like one of those Chinese tourists, got out of the boat. "Yeah, I did it. I did it. I did it." I'm like, "Good job, Mom. You got it. That's great." 60, almost 70 years old, whitewater rafting with the kids. Live by schedule. Jesus called his followers disciples. A disciple, you know, we weren't called Christians by choice. Other people gave us that name. But Christ called his followers disciples. Disciples mean disciplined ones. Have a schedule and live by your schedule.
Amen.
You know what? A good time to go to the beach or go to the lake and fish is Sunday. It's a good time. But I don't go to the lake and fish. You say, why? Because we have church. A good time to do laundry is Thursday night. But you know, I don't do laundry on Thursday night. You say, why? Because in my schedule, I have church. You know, it's a good time to sleep in on Saturday. But I don't sleep in on Saturday. You say, why? Because I come to church. Yep. Live by schedule. Lastly, decide you will be at church for all the services. Let me say this in person. I'm glad that we have live stream. I'm glad we have live stream. But live stream is not the main thing. There's nothing like being in church, in the house of God, meeting the people of God, hearing the preaching of God with your own ears, live in an auditorium. I talked to Brother Adrian this morning. I said, hey, how's it going? You guys do in person yet? I knew the answer. I just wanted to conversate. He said, not yet. He said, man, we need to get back in church. And by the way, in the back of that, he was just hinting, there's people struggling because they're not in church. You say, why? Lost the rhythm. Church, I want to beg you, don't lose your rhythm. And some of us, if we've lost it a little bit, let's jump right back in. Let's jump right back in. Let's pray.